Et la première étoile, la first star, Al Brother!
Yep, the Frère d'Alain, here he is, Al's brother. And Al's brother's North Division Power Rankings are brought to you by our friends at Dewar, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at dewar.ca/TO and use code TSN1050 to save 15%. So dewar.ca/TO, use code TSN1050 to save 15%. The world's most comfortable pants. And there he is, the world's most comfortable man, Al's brother. Built for comfort. I love it. Good to see you, buddy.
I wish it would be quite interesting if we could do some of these events wearing Dewar jeans. Could you imagine running that 200 in Dewar jeans?
I don't think it would change your time at
all.
Well,
they're the performance pants, right?
That's right.
So I feel like it might give me a boost.
It could. If anything, they make you quicker. Yeah. If anything, it boosts your time.
It'd be hard to bring my time down.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, Feschuk is a glutton for punishment here. He wants you guys to really take this as deep as you can possibly go. And
oh yeah,
I am going to put a halt right now to the pole vaulting. I don't think either O or I are even capable of lifting our feet more than 3 inches off the ground on a good day, let alone pull ourselves up on a pole over a beam 20 feet in the air.
Right.
I don't think that is going to happen.
Wait a minute here, Al's brother. You're the man that gave us the 17-inch vertical. Am I not right?
That is correct.
Well, what do you mean? 3 inches and 17 inches? There's a disconnect there. You're selling yourself short. Hayes and I were just saying earlier in the show, all you need is to commission the best scientists we have available to us right now who aren't working on the pandemic to develop a material for this particular pole that will actually stand up to the punishment of an overdrive combine.
Right.
I just don't know if that material exists. That's all I'm saying.
It's on us to find it, man. We'll send someone out and get it if we have to. The grappler can work on that. And listen, there's a lot of important things going on in the world, but let's not sell ourselves short here. I think there needs to be some prioritization here. We need to get this done because pole vaulting is a part of it. Wrestling might be a part of it. We'll talk. We'll figure it out down the road. We'll get O-Dog will be back tomorrow. We'll see what kind of response he has for this.
All right.
Although I have a feeling I kind of know where he's going to be at with that.
But I think we're both down for that Pinty's option. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I think we could make something work there.
I like it. Yeah, Pinty's wrote in and said maybe hot dogs, maybe wings, maybe burgers. I think wings and ribs, like they make the best wings and ribs in the business. Pinty's will look that up.
Hey, we're here for a wing ranking, are we not?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I like it. I like that idea a lot. All right, there's something to investigate there. We'll get to the bottom of it. But you're here for your power rankings. So this week we're doing the 7 best wingers in the Canadian division, right?
Yeah, and just for clarification on how I did these rankings. So this is based on the 2021 season in general, right? So the best season, the best 7 wingers this year. So we're not going based on name value. It's based on how they're performing this year. And also, true wingers only. So we're not including guys like Drysdale or Nuge or Dubois who played the wing. Like, true wingers only.
Okay, I like it. So it's based on, it's basically performance-based rankings, and it's not a projection on who you'd have on your team in 5 years or anything like that. It's simply what you've seen out of the wingers this year, and you are ranking them based on performance. I like it. Al's brother, take it away at number 7.
All right, coming in at number 7, and boy, do I wish I had Noodles was here for this, to be quite honest with you, because at 7, I've got Zach Hyman of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I love it.
Really hope that he's okay. Obviously, he had that knee last night with Edler, and hopefully that MRI comes back clean. But he's having an unbelievable season. Like all around, he's scoring goals, he's creating offense, and he's been like the most consistent player on the Maple Leafs, maybe one of the most consistent players in the NHL all season long. You couple that with the fact that he has an elite two-way game. He's truly like a threat defensively, and I think that he certainly has been a top 7 winger this season. Is he the best winger? Maybe not, but this year, certainly.
I like it, Al's brother. I'm curious to see who will be omitted. I mean, without knowing where you're going the rest of the list, I'm sure we'll come to someone where we might say, that's a little bit debatable. And I'm also assuming we're going to get to a point where it's largely based on points and goal scoring and all that, where Hyman brings he drags a different category into the mix, right, the way he plays. But with that said, I'm probably not giving him enough credit. He's putting up decent stats.
He's got 33 points, which is more than some other guys who are going to be on this list and some of the guys who didn't make it. Like, I'll tell you, one of the honorable mentions who's not on this list, who he's actually doing better than this year, Matt Tkachuk.
Yes. He's been better than Tkachuk this year. That is indisputable.
He's got more goals than Willie Nylander.
Yep.
Okay. Right?
I was going to say, second on the team in goal scoring here. Second on the team in goal scoring. Not exactly a chump season.
No.
And by the way, Al's brother, I'm interested. What do you think he's going to be worth? Because at $2.25 million this year, probably one of the best bargains in the league.
100%. And in the future, we'll do a best bargain rankings here. But I think it starts with a five. Like, I really do think it starts with a five, whether it's five times five or five and a half. Six might be a little rich for me, but certainly I think the days of thinking you could scoop him up for a cheap hometown discount at $4-4.5 million, I think those are long gone.
Well, I think those might only be attainable if it's a longer term deal. I mean, that's another thing you got to consider. He's 29. He's, you know, this is his payday. This is where he's going to make his money in the NHL. But I could see him wanting to stay here, wanting to work it out. I could see the Leafs thinking, let's do kind of a Brody type deal, something like that. And he may say, well, if it's going to be at that cap hit, it's got to be a 7-year deal or an 8-year deal. And that'll test how much they really want to be committed to him because everyone loves Zach Hyman. Everyone understands that the Leafs love him and want to keep him around. Do you want to keep him for 8 years? That's a big gamble to take for a guy who, again, the MRI may factor into this conversation.
Let's
be honest. If he's got serious damage and he's out again, that's probably going to affect his next contract. Knock on wood that it doesn't happen. All right, you got Zach Hyman at 7. These are the 7 best wingers in the North Division this season. Al's brother is off and running with his rankings. Who do you have at number 6?
I've got Tyler Toffoli from the Montreal Canadiens coming at number 6. Tied for first in goals among all wingers in the North Division with 21. Mm-hmm. Sits second in the entire NHL in goals per 60 behind only Austin Matthews. But 8 of those goals have come against Vancouver. So consistency has been a little bit of an issue here when it comes to Toffoli. He gets streaky and he gets hot. And he's really more of a finisher than anything, right? You look at Zach Hyman, he's an all-around player. Toffoli more of just a good bona fide goal scorer. But luckily he's got a bunch of those goals this year, which is helping Montreal win some games. So he comes in at number 6. And for a while, he was up there with Matthews when it comes to the Rocket race. I think the first like half of the season, he was definitely in that race.
Well, it was the first like 15 games. He had like 9 or 10 goals. And again, it was Vancouver. He was just absolutely terrorizing the Canucks. This is one based on performance this year. I like Toffoli. He is not, you know, if all things are equal and we're starting from scratch, going into a new year starting tonight, Toffoli's not in the top 7, as far as I'm concerned. But I can't take away the season he's had. You got me thinking here. I would put Hyman ahead of Toffoli. Like, Toffoli's, the goals count for something, but Hyman, it's not like he's got 2 goals on the year.
Yeah.
He's chipping in too, and he's a better all-around player. He's a more effective all-around player than Toffoli. And what did Toffoli get, 4.5? A 5-year deal at 4.5.
4.25, I believe. 4.25 times four.
Yeah, like that might be an interesting barometer there for Hyman, where I think he'd say, I want a little bit more. I think you might be looking at 5x5 for Hyman. Like the Leafs may put that on the table and say, let's try to make something work here. But okay, you got Toffoli at 6. He had a very good year. No denying that. Who do you have at number 5?
I got Brock Besser coming in at number 5 of the Vancouver Canucks. Pure goal scorer, highly skilled player. He's got 16 goals, 34 points through 38 games this year. And another guy who was competing with Matthews for the goal scoring race early on in the year. Having a really good bounce back performance as well after a back surgery about 1.5 years ago. He's really taken that next step that everyone thought he was going to take. And he's having a solid, solid season. And it's a shame that it was kind of derailed by COVID, because I think that he was really starting to come into his own. Still a pretty young cat, but definitely one of the top 5 wingers in this division for me this year.
Yeah, he's had a good year. I can't dispute that. Again, I don't know. Has he been better than Toffoli? Has he been better than Hyman? I mean, I think it's arbitrary at that point. I know you're a Vancouver Canuck diehard.
No, I think he has been. Like, I think he's also, people slight him for like not being one-dimensional as just a pure goal scorer. And yeah, that's obviously his bread and butter. But he's not awful defensively. Like, he will show some effort and back check every now and then. He's not
a complete
kind of guy.
Well, that's good to hear, Al's brother. Every once in a while.
I see what you're saying. You know. Al's brother, I see where you're going here. I mean, he's a pure goal scorer, but he's got 16 goals. Zach Hyman's got 15.
Yeah.
So how pure is Zach?
Hyman's better. You know? He's been better this year. I'll say it bluntly. He's been a more effective player than Besser. I'm not saying he's better or more talented, period. Again, I'm not talking about a projection of 5 or 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
You were talking about your guidelines. Simply this year, who's been more effective? Hyman. Hyman's been more effective than Toffoli and Besser.
Whoa.
The only reason you have Hyman at 7 is because you don't want to piss Noodles off.
Maybe. That could have factored into it. I didn't want him to come on the show tomorrow and rip my throat out because I had it too high.
I mean, and the other thing is, can you really put a Canuck on this list, Al's brother, given that their season's been shot behind the year?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a great season.
Like, he's had a good year.
34 points in 38 games,
yep.
Right? Like, he's not just a goal scorer. This guy's actually can produce some offense. He can pass the puck as well, right? Like, when it comes points per game, he's doing a lot better than both Toffoli and Hyman. So it's not just relying on scoring goals.
Speaking of Hyman, Sheldon Keefe is speaking with the media right now. He said Zach Hyman has a sprained MCL, will miss a minimum of two weeks.
That's not good for my fantasy team, I can tell you that.
Like, he had the ACL. MCL is, that's meniscus, I believe we're talking about. And a sprained MCL, minimum 2 weeks, that always is a little bit concerning, too. When they say minimum as opposed to maximum.
Yeah.
Like, when they come in with, hey, you know, he'll be back in the next 10 games. When you start with a minimum, now he's a freak. Zach Hyman's a freak. He's a guy who played on a torn ACL a couple of years ago in the playoffs. Again, I'll get back to what I said at 4 o'clock. Ultimately, all I need from him is game one of the playoffs. You know, be at 100% by game one, which is still a month away, give or take. But minimum 2 weeks is not – it's not as bad as it could have been. If he blew his ACL out again, he's done, right? If he tore his MCL, he's done or whatever. Sprained MCL is probably the best you could possibly hope for.
I think this also now will give them an opportunity once Foligno gets in the lineup, kind of see what that looks like with Foligno up on the top line and Galchenyuk, and see what they look like, because there's always been that thought that if they can put them in the top six and have Hyman on that third line and have that shutdown third line, you can now see over the next couple of weeks, because you have to now because he's not in the lineup, what that looks like and if that is possible in the playoffs. So if you want to have a little silver lining to this injury, that might be it.
Yeah, I was speaking. I was going back and forth. Sorry, Dave, with a surgeon, a buddy of mine, an orthopedic surgeon, and he said if it was MCL, he's like, could be MCL. His read on it was 3 weeks would be low grade, 6 to 10 weeks is higher grade. But this would suggest if they're saying minimum 2 weeks, you know, that doesn't suggest it's like a high grade, real significant sprain. Although maybe it's too early to really tell, but that's, you know, courtesy of my buddy Dan, who's an orthopedic surgeon. He's saying his call would be on that if it is MCL, and he was saying it last night. He's talking like 3 weeks. So,
yeah,
that seems a little bit.
Yeah, I just got a message from a doctor source of mine too, Hayes. And often you were mentioning the meniscus. Often when you get an MCL sprain, it is accompanied by some damage to the meniscus, but who knows if that's actually the case here. So that could be problematic that way. But I think, you know, Ray made a great point earlier in the show, Al's brother. I don't know if you were listening, that, you know, the fact that he had this knee blown apart with the ACL last time around 2 seasons ago, it was actually good because he's probably still wearing a brace and it's been repaired and therefore might be stronger than your average, you know, veteran NHLer's knee. So maybe there is some silver lining here.
Yeah, and I should clarify, MCL is not the meniscus. I know that's what I just pointed out.
No, it's not the meniscus, but the point that was made by this doctor was that sometimes when you get an MCL injury, you can also get some meniscus damage alongside it.
Right.
So, you know, it happens. They often happen together, which is why I think you're linking the two.
Yeah, I think that's likely where I was going. But the MCL is, again, it is not the meniscus. I love people are like, what are you talking about? As if I have...
No, it's
PhD.
Not the meniscus, clearly.
Like, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the internal workings of the knee here.
You did hurt your knee, so I'm sure you learned
a thing
or two.
I actually blew out my meniscus. That's the thing. I you would think I would know that. But, yes, MCL, not the meniscus, but MCL sprain is what Hyman currently has. And out a minimum of 2 weeks, that is courtesy of Sheldon Keefe. So take that for what it's worth. It could have been a lot worse. I think that's the glass half full here. All right, so you got Hyman at 7, Toffoli at 6, Besser at 5. Ranking the top 7 wingers in Canada so far this season, who do you have at number 4?
I feel like based on how this has gone so far, you guys are going to have something to say about this one. But the way that this gentleman has been playing this season, he deserves some respect. And I'm going to go ahead and say that Brady Tkachuk has been a top 4 winger in the Canadian division this year. I love the way that this guy plays. Third in the NHL in thank God O's not here, but expected goals, which means he's creating a lot. I know he hates that a lot, but it means that he's creating. And a lot of those have been of high danger variety. Just 14 goals on the season, which isn't as much as these other guys, but I think that's just due to bad puck luck. Like, when you have that many opportunities and it's just not going into the back of the net, I think as he matures and as his team matures, this kid's going to be an absolute beast of a player. You factor the fact that he leads the NHL in hits as well, so he's got that two-way game, that edge to him. I think he's a future captain in this league and for the Ottawa Senators, and this is just the first year where he's really putting his stamp on the league, in my opinion.
He's noticeable every single night. I love him as a player, too. I think there's an element of projection in your ranking here because of what you just said. You think he's going to get there. But I love his play, and I think he has been highly effective this year. I'm not going to fight you on that one, Al's brother. Shock,
hey, Christ.
Hayes, though, Hayes, we do have to, small matter of protocol here. Is the show etiquette that it's a fine or a suspension for mentioning the phrase expected goals?
That's usually a fine, but in this case, when he's really trying to sell it, suspendable.
Here's the thing. I don't have tape and film to like show these guys doing these cool things.
Right.
So the only way for me to really explain what these players are doing is by stats and like analytics, right?
Yep,
if I had the film and had the tape and short some clips, then I could show you guys. But
I have to
go through the stats in order to get my points
across.
You're
not wrong. You're always informed. I like it. All right, who do you have at number three? Top seven wingers in the country this year.
I got Kyle Connor coming in at number three, the winger for the Winnipeg Jets. And I think that's probably going to be consensus, the top three guys here. But probably the best pure goal scorer among the wingers within this division, I would say, at least in my opinion. He's got 21 goals on the year. He can finish as good as anyone else. And I just, the fact that he's only 23 years old actually baffles me. When I was looking up his stats and what he's done this year just to get it done, I was like, 23? I feel like this guy has been in the NHL and has been producing at this high level in the NHL for like 4 or 5 years, which means he's been a star in this league. Or at least the very elite player.
He's been
player.
A name, well-known product. Probably doesn't get enough love, though, Al's brother.
No, like, for like 3 years.
Yeah, no, Connor, like, he came out of Michigan, American guy, so up here playing in Canada, didn't get the name recognition that he probably should have. Was a part of the Islanders trade with Edmonton, remember? That was supposed to be the Oilers' pick, I believe, when they traded for Griffin Reinhardt.
That was Barzal.
Was it Barzal? You're right, it was Barzal. You're right, it was Barzal.
But
Connor
that trade.
Was on the board.
Yeah.
I believe. Connor, I think, was on the board. Maybe I'm thinking of Boston when they had three picks in a row. I think that's what I'm getting to. If Barzal was on the board and Connor was on the board, I think Shabbat was on the board.
He would have been. Besser would have been on the board in that draft.
Yeah, Besser was on the board. They didn't take any of them. They took three other players who, are decent players enough, but not to this extent. Okay, you got Connor at three. Who do you have at number two?
We're going to keep to Winnipeg and go with Nikolai Ehlers. This guy's having an unbelievable season. 20 goals on the year, averaging a point per game. And he's really broken out this year. Like, he's had a couple of really good seasons, and I'd say that he's been a good player. This year, he's elevated his game to being an elite player in the league. I absolutely love what he's doing this year, and it's consistent. And consistency is something that brings somebody from good to elite, and that's what Ehlers has done. And that's why he comes in as the number two winger in the North Division for myself.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's had an absolutely exceptional year, and I think it puts it on a tee for Mitch Marner, I'm assuming, being number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Potential Hart candidate, Mitch Marner, probably not going to get it, but I mean, he's up there. And he's
been great.
Easily the best. Like, you could argue some of these guys, you could argue, Besser, you can argue Tkachuk, maybe even Toffoli. There's no argument from anybody that Mitch Marner is the best winger in this division. He's not the Robin to the Batman of Matthews. They're both Batman. Like, they both are.
I agree. I mean, that's what they've built themselves into is a tandem where I think Matthews brings a little bit more of that marquee element because he scores and because he's bigger and plays up the middle of the ice. But Marner is thoroughly entertaining. He's thoroughly effective. He plays every single night, every night.
He's a franchise
guy. He's absolutely a franchise player. He's an exceptional player, and he's made it. Right? Like, Ian Matthews made it, and it's their league now, and it's they're along for the ride. So I like it. You got Marner at one, Ehlers at two, Connor three, Brady Tkachuk at four, Besser five, Toffoli six, Hyman seven. So no Matthew Tkachuk, no Blake Wheeler, no William Nylander. And speaking of William Nylander, apparently he was late for a meeting today And Sheldon Keefe initially thought he would not play tomorrow night, but now he may play because Mikheyev could potentially be out of the lineup based on some injury that they're not willing to reveal at this point. So that'll be interesting. Where, do you go with the code or do you go with the necessity here if you're Sheldon Keefe? Not a great look for Nylander.
Especially after you just threatened to give the rest of the team COVID, you know, causing the hugest scare of the season by, you know, being put on the protocol list after you had a close contact. This is not a good week for Willie Nylander.
No, it's not. So we'll see what happens. And it sounds like Nick Foligno will join the Leafs in Winnipeg on Wednesday. First full day with the club on Thursday, and then may play on the weekend.
Nice.
So we'll come back and get back to that. Great stuff, Al's brother.
Thank you.
As always, man, we'll catch you later in the week, as we always do. There he is, Al's brother, and his power ranking.